We first met Jesse, was it 10 years ago? I guess 10 or 11 years ago, when Jesse was a student at North Point Bible College. And I think that's where you met Hillary, is that right? You met at the Bible College. And I don't know if you were married when we met you, but you got married shortly after. Anyway, Jesse's been on a whirlwind for the last 10 years. Can't believe it's been 10 years. But he started out by finishing up with North Point, getting right into ministry, traveling to Germany, and he learned German at that point in life, which is a miracle. But since then, he's come back to the States. He got involved with Global Renewal, which is a ministry that goes all over the world, preaching the Word of God. I've seen some video clips. He's going to share some testimonies. Signs and wonders have been following the preaching of the Word through this ministry. So he and Hillary have three children. They live in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. And he'll be going back, I guess, tomorrow or Tuesday. But please give Jesse Comrie a warm welcome as he comes today. God bless you, Jesse. And your friend Stephen is here, your armor bearer. Stephen, God bless you. Thank you for your ministry, too.
Stephen, stand up. Let the people see you. Stephen is single, everybody. So. And if it's up to me, he won't be for long. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be here at New Life Assembly of God. Wow. What an awesome time of worship. I just came this morning with great expectations. How many of you guys came expecting this morning? Let me see your hands. Praise God. Two-thirds of you are going to be blessed. Hey, I don't know why the other third is here, but I'm glad you came anyways. Hallelujah. Listen, we got to have expectation when we come into the house of the Lord. People say don't get your hopes up. Anyone who says don't get your hopes up doesn't know my God, right? We serve a good God. Your hopes aren't high enough, okay? You got to get your hopes up higher because we serve a God who loves you. He cares for you. He desires to heal you. He desires to set you free, to deliver you, to save your soul. That's the God we serve. Get your hopes up. Amen. I want to thank you, Pastor Rick. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I love just the anointing of a shepherd and a pastor that you carry, even with the gift of tongues and interpretation, how you explained it and shepherded the people. Man, it's just evident that your pastor is an anointed shepherd. Amen. Even when I hear people talk, I was talking to someone at North Point yesterday. I said I was preaching for Pastor Rick. He said, oh, man, I just love how that guy loves people. That's what a shepherd is. Amen. If you're going to be a shepherd, you got to smell like the sheep. There's a lot of pastors out there. Like, there's a mentality amongst pastors that they got to protect themselves from the sheep. That's not a shepherd. That's a hired hand. A shepherd smells like the sheep. A shepherd's amongst the people. Amen. So I just want to honor that in you, Pastor. I want to, and it's a big deal too, as a shepherd who loves his sheep, to trust somebody else to come in and feed them for a day and not screw it up too badly, right? It's a big deal. So thank you, Pastor Rick, for the opportunity, for your friendship, for your trust. I'm excited for what God wants to do in this place. I got a word that I want to preach, but it's basically my first time here. I was here like 10 years ago at a Sunday evening service. But I realize that a lot of people have no idea who I am, what I do. So I have a lot I want to cover today. I want to give you a very short version of my testimony, give you an overview of the ministry, still preach the word, and still have an altar call. So you got to try to keep up with me today, okay? So I'm going to give you just the 2-minute version of my testimony. I got radically saved 15 years ago in a prison chapel. And I was in and out of prison. I have multiple felonies on my record. I've been in city jail, county jail, state prison, always for just a few weeks in and out. But I've been in all those places multiple times. And I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. I was a mean, violent, angry individual. But my third time incarcerated, God met me in the chapel service. It was my cellmate who invited me to go with him to the chapel service 15 years ago. And this guy, Ben, he was anything but a Christian. But for whatever reason, he decided to go to the chapel service that day, and he invited me to go with him. And it's amazing looking back. God will use anybody. Yeah, if he can use Balaam's donkey, he can use my crazy crackhead cellmate, right? So my cellie, he invited me to go to the chapel service with him, and so I said, sure, why not? I got nothing better to do. And so we went to the chapel service, and I was sitting in a chair, and there was a worship band who came to play worship in the prison, and nobody talked to me, nobody prayed for me, but as the band was worshiping, I just began to think, I don't want this life anymore. Like, I don't want the drugs. I want to start over. I want a new life. I want a fresh start. And that was a moment of what we call repentance, right? I wanted to turn away from all the evil that was in my life. I didn't want it anymore. I wanted to be free from all of it. And in that moment of repentance, the Holy Spirit met me in such a way. I could literally feel the power and the presence of God physically coursing through my body like electricity. I could feel that, like, the manifest presence of God came over me in such a powerful way. And when I felt his presence for the first time in my life, I said, this is what I've been searching for. This is all the substances that I looked to, it was all cheap imitations. It was actually that I was searching for, right? And so when I felt his presence for the first time, I said, God, if that's you, I want you in my life. I want to know you. I want a relationship with you. So I'm in a prison chapel in a state prison with 50 felons around me. Some of these guys are killers, right? But for whatever reason, I knew I had to get on my knees and surrender to Jesus in front of like 50 felons. I didn't care who was watching. Nobody else was getting on their knees except me, right? But I didn't care who was there, who was watching. I had to get on my knees and surrender to Jesus as my Lord. So I dropped to my knees in the prison chapel, and as I was on my knees for probably 10 or 15 minutes, just reconciling with God as my Father, as I was on my knees, I had my eyes closed, but I saw clearly a picture of Jesus, a vision of Jesus standing in front of me. Jesus appeared in front of me in the darkest place in the prison chapel. Jesus met me. My eyes were closed, and listen, I always somehow believed in God. I've never thought that, like, I didn't know who God was. I didn't know what his name was. But, like, it was easier for me to believe in God than it was to believe once upon a time there was nothing and nothing exploded and made me. Right? Like, both of those take faith, okay? And so I always believed that there was some kind of creator, some kind of God. Didn't know who he was. Certainly didn't think he liked me, right? But as I was on my knees in that prison chapel, there was no anger. There was no condemnation. There was only an invitation. Jesus appeared to me. He stuck out his hand and he said three words. He said, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" That was it. And I realized in that moment that the creator of the universe had been waiting for me to be ready. That he never held himself back from me. I only ever held myself back from him. He was waiting my attention. Just like the story of the prodigal son. As soon as the father sees the son in the distance, what does he do? He runs to him. He embraces him. He tells the servants, get a robe for him. Get sandals. Get a ring. Kill the fatted calf. Throw a party. My son is home. That's the same welcome home I received from my father 15 years ago in a prison chapel. And I was on my, I don't know how long I was on my knees, 10, 15 minutes maybe, but when I stood up, I was a different person. I was born again, right? Like, I was the most angry person you could ever meet. If you looked at me wrong, I was fighting you, okay? I stood up with a smile on my face, and for 15 years, I haven't stopped smiling. My face hurts from smiling so much. Like, that's the difference that Jesus can make in a life. Everyone thought I went nuts. They said, don't talk to Jesse. He finally lost it. I mean, I went from like selling cigarettes on the yard and doing stupid stuff, right? And then I was on my bed just smiling and like reading the Bible and praying. And everyone's like, this guy lost his mind, right? But that's the, I never like found religion and tried to be a better person. Jesus found me and I could not stay the same. I literally could not stay the same. I was changed from the inside out. I was given a new heart and I couldn't go back and do the same things anymore. Very quickly, God cleaned everything out of my life. Within a year, God cleaned everything out of my life. He said, no, you can't do drugs anymore. Okay, I'll leave it behind. No, you can't drink anymore. Okay, I'll leave it behind. No, you can't do the internet stuff anymore. Okay, I'll leave it behind, right? Very quickly, God cleaned everything out of my life so that within 1 year, I was in Bible college. Not only was I in Bible college, I was president of my class in the Bible college. right here, Zion when I went there, North Point now. President of my class in Zion a year after my last time in prison. Only Jesus can do that in a life. Amen? But God just did a radical work in my life. And even when I first got to Zion, he was still working on me, right? I mean, I was still rough around the edges for these youth group kids. They didn't know what to do with me at Zion at that time. In fact, the RD was Dave Hanshoemaker at the time, and he told me recently when I saw him, he said that his son asked him to tell him some stories of crazy stuff he had to deal with in the dorm rooms, and he told him four stories, and his wife said, you realize three of those were Jesse. But God did a radical work, man. He continued to transform me. And then within 2.5 years of Bible college, I went full-time to the mission field by faith. We moved to Germany by faith. I can't tell all the details of the story for time's sake, but the Lord spoke to me. It was August. The Lord spoke to me and said, he spoke to me about moving to Germany as a missionary, and he gave me a date in prayer. I was in prayer, and the Lord showed me the date, January 15th. Okay, this was in August, and the Lord said, you're going to move to Germany on January 15th. I don't know if you know anything about raising a budget as a missionary, but it doesn't happen between August and January 15th. Especially, I'd only been saved for like 3 years. I knew like three pastors that I could call. It's not like I had a network of people that I could call to try to raise a budget, but the Lord said, you're moving on January 15th. So I said, yes, Lord. Everybody thought we were nuts. Sister Patty can probably remember. Everybody thought we were crazy at the Bible college, right? Like, they were sitting us down like, no, you guys can't do it this way. There was prayer chains set up for us to come to our senses. People told me that later that we would snap out of it and come to our senses. But God told me to go, right? January 15th. So I told my fiance at the time, I said, hey, sweetheart, I'm moving to Germany as a missionary on January 15th. She said, well, I'm coming with you. I said, okay, then we have to get married. And so within 2 months, we got married. We were planning to get married like 8 months later. Within 2 months, we got married. And then we had like 2 months to try to raise a budget or do something, figure out how we were going to live in Germany full time as missionaries. I couldn't get a work visa. I couldn't work there. Like, it had to be by faith. And we took all the money that we got from our wedding. We spent it all on one-way plane tickets to Germany for January 15th. That was the only money we had in the world, was the tickets that we bought to the nation of Germany to move there as missionaries. We had not one promise of support, not one, like nobody. Everybody just thought we were crazy. Nobody was saying we're going to support you, right? But I said, and people said, listen, it's impossible. I said, I know it's impossible, but God told me to do it. And if it wasn't God, I'll fail. If I heard wrong, I'll fail, but I'd rather fail that way. I'm okay someday standing in front of God and saying, God, I thought I heard you. I got it wrong. I'm sorry. I'm more okay with that than standing in front of God and saying, God, I thought I heard you, but I let the doubters and I let the haters and I let everybody else talk me out of listening to your voice. So I said, we're going January 15th. We're going. 2 weeks before we're supposed to leave, we still had nothing, like no promise of support, nothing. And then there was one day when all of a sudden my phone wouldn't stop ringing off the hook. 2 weeks before, my bags are packed at this point to move to Germany, right? And I still have no idea how I'm going to buy a sandwich. And 2 weeks before we're supposed to leave, my phone starts ringing off the hook. We have an apartment for you to live in Germany. We're going to support you this much a month. We're going to support you this much a month. We're going to support one pastor of an AG church. I'm going as an independent missionary, right? One pastor of an AG church called me and said, we just feel like God is in this. We're going to give you $5,000 right now and $1,000 for every month you stay in Germany. Someone, I barely knew this guy. Somebody came to the house the next day and said, God came to me. My wife's preschool teacher came to the house the next day, said, God came to me in a dream and told me to give you this, and handed us a check for $1,200. Like God raised our entire budget to live in Germany for 4.5 years in a day. I lived there for 4.5 years. I never itinerated. We planted a church in Germany. And, like, we rented the building. We renovated it. We bought all the sound equipment. Like, we never came close to running out of money. We serve a good God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is able. So I was in Germany 4.5 years. That's where we planted our first church. I came back 6 years ago. I got to be really quick, okay? I came back 6 years ago to take over the ministry I'm running now called Global Renewal. And since then, it's been an explosion of growth. We went from planting one church in 4.5 years to now in 6 years, we've planted dozens of churches on 4 continents. We get to travel the world. We've seen thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. We've seen thousands of Muslims come to Christ. Thousands of Hindus come to Christ. We, almost all of the churches we've planted are in majority Muslim and Hindu areas. Amen. We have massive crusades with thousands of people in attendance. We've seen every miracle you can imagine, like the blind see, the deaf hear, demons are cast out, the lame walk, all that kind of stuff, right? Like 15 years ago, I was in prison. If he can do it for me, church, he can do it for you. The Bible says my God is not a respecter of persons, right? Don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. When you surrender your life to Jesus and give everything to following him. For me, it was easy, church. It was easy for me to give him everything because my life was terrible. It's like, God, I don't know why you would want it, but if you want it, take it, right? You can have my life, my future, my whatever, it's yours. But when you come to Jesus that way and pursue him with everything in you, it is amazing what he will do in your life. Amen. So now we have two focuses in Global Renewal. We have our first focus is evangelism, which results in church planting. Everywhere we go, everywhere we do a crusade, we leave a church behind. We train the pastor, we buy the land, we build the building, we have the opening service of the church, and by God's grace, we now have dozens of churches in our networks around the world. And it's been an amazing time. I'll show you. Actually, I have a quick video I'm going to show you from one of our last crusades. I loved this crusade. This was last year we did this crusade. But I loved this one because I want you to know about this town. This is the town, from what I'm told, it has the worst witchcraft in all of Uganda. So my team in Uganda, these guys have been in ministry in this country for over 20 years. They've been all over preaching all over the country. They're Ugandan guys. They said this is the worst witchcraft we've ever seen in the entire country. And if you know anything about Africa, there's a lot of witchcraft over there. They said this is not only that, but the biggest organized religion is Muslims in the city. And not only that, but the only Christians that are there are Anglican, and they're our biggest opponents, right? And So I mean, they wanted us there less than the witch doctors, right? So my team, they said, can we move the crusade somewhere else? Can we go to a different town? I said, no, don't worry about it. Just pray. But they said, we don't even think anyone's going to show up to this crusade. I said, don't worry about it. Just pray. The first night of the crusade, we only had 300 people come. That's tiny. Like, that's you know, that's small. But the Spirit of God moved so powerfully. There were demons cast out. There were miracles, signs, and wonders. And the people of Buthalasia, which was the town, the people of Buthalasia saw that there's more power in the name of Jesus than in the idols that they worship in the woods. They saw that there's more power in Jesus than in their witch doctors. And I told them the story of Philip going to Samaria and preaching the good news of the name of Jesus. And when Samaria saw that there's more power in Jesus' name than in the magician's name, the whole town believed and was baptized. That's what happened in Buthalasia. There was revival in this place so that people were... There was a mom who checked her dying baby out of the hospital, dying with malaria, brought the baby to the crusade. God touched it. Was it a boy or a girl? Do you remember? It was a girl. God touched her and she was totally healed. The fever left her. News of this kind of thing spread throughout the whole town so that by the third night we had 3,000 people in attendance at the crusade. And there was witch doctors that were trying to curse us while we were preaching. We'd be on the stage of the crusade. They'd be in the audience waving branches around. I said, go ahead and wave your branch. I laughed at them from the stage. I said, go ahead and wave your branches. If you think that could hurt me, I'd be dead a long time ago. No undeserved curse can land on me in Jesus' name. And when they saw that level of confidence and authority, man, the people had no choice but to believe, right? So that even the next day after that, the next day, one of the witch doctors who was there came to the opening service of the church, repented of her witchcraft, was delivered from demons, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and baptized in water, all in the same day. Yeah. That's how it's got to be. Repent, get delivered, baptize in water, baptize in the Holy Ghost, all on day one. Right? Hallelujah. I'm going to show you this quick video, and then I'm going to tell you the other focus, and we're going to get to the word. Go ahead, show that first video.
If you were born again for the first time this week, I want you to wave both hands in the sky. Amen.
Amen.
If you were born again for the first time, there is power in the name of Jesus. I want you to know, Buddha, behind you, you victory over the devil. And you're going to tread on his head. You're going to take the name. If you were 100% healed in your body, wave both hands in the sky right now.
Hallelujah. We had the third night of that crusade, we had 1,000 people instantly healed all at the same time. Without laying hands on any of them, God just moved in such a way that 1,000 people were healed all at the same time. Amen. Listen, I take teams on all these trips. If you're interested, you got to experience this. Right? Because what I tell people, what I see in Uganda and in some of these places I go, and what I read in the book of Acts, there's no difference. There's no difference. And that's something you got to experience. If you're interested in going on a trip, the first step is you got to ask your pastor. He's the shepherd here. Talk to him about it, and then you can talk to me about it. Amen? But I'd love for you guys to come on a trip in the future. It'd be a wonderful time. The second focus of global renewal is rescuing girls from human trafficking. So we have three homes now, three rescue homes. I've been involved in rescue ministry for about 8 years, and we have three rescue homes now, and the biggest one is in Delhi. I just got back from that home a couple weeks ago. We had an awesome time. If you go to these slides, I'll show you a couple slides from the trip. Go to the next one. These are all our girls. We took all our girls to the Taj Mahal. These are all our rescue girls. Every time I come, they know they're going to get to do something fun. So last time we took them to the amusement park. This time we took them to Taj Mahal. Like, the testimony of these girls is the worst things you've ever heard in your life. But one of the most amazing things about this ministry is you go, you meet these girls who have been in our home for just a few months, and the amount of healing that they've had, and like the fact that they can laugh and play and worship and have fun, and like they've met Jesus and he's healed them and he's healed them. It's one of the most powerful displays of the power of the gospel I've ever seen, right? And so when I come, they know they're going to do something fun. So this time they all voted. They wanted to go to the Taj Mahal. So we took them all to the Taj Mahal, and some of them, they said, never in my life did I think I'd see something so great. And it was so precious. So if you go to the next slide. Then we had a special banquet dinner. We tried to cover their faces for the most part, because just, you know, for their protection. But we had a special banquet dinner for them, where we were the servers and we came around and we served them dinner, and then we just played games for hours and just had a blast with them. Go to the next slide. This is Deepika. She's smiling really big right now, because she was rescued 3 years ago from the train station. The traffickers were bringing her to Delhi to sell her, and our team was able to intercept them at the train station and rescue her before she was brought to the red light district. And for 3 years, my team has been working to find her parents, because she was kidnapped, right? For 3 years, my team has been working to find her parents, and they just found them. So she's smiling really big, because in 1 week, she's going to be reunited with her parents. Hallelujah. I love that story. Go to the next one. We actually went into the red light district, into the brothels, and preached the gospels to the prostitutes there. And actually, there was issues. But God is bigger. And he protected us from everything the devil tried to throw at us. And we're still alive. Amen. And so we got to go in, and many of the prostitutes in these brothel homes accepted Jesus. And we're working to find ways to rescue more and more of them. We have an above 18 home now as well. All the girls we've rescued almost 4,000 girls from human trafficking, all under 18. And we're believing God for our fourth home this year. If you go to the next slide. We had some great evangelistic services. Man, there's a lot of deliverance that needs to take place in India. Let me tell you that. These people, they spend their whole lives trying to be possessed. You know? And so when we go, man, and we pray at the altar, it's a wild time. But we had an awesome time. We saw hundreds of Hindus come to Christ. I don't know how, dozens of people were delivered from demons. Deaf ears here, blind eyes open. We had awesome times in these services. Go to the next slide. If there is one, that might be it. Oh, this is one of the ladies who was delivered. She had a tormenting spirit for 50 years. 50 years she was tormented by a demon. When we prayed, she manifested. She was set free. She was delivered. And for the first time in 50 years, she was delivered, born again, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then you can see that smile. Is there another slide, or is that it? Okay, good. Amen. Praise God. All right. I'm going to show you one more video. You guys, if you get hungry, pray for strength today. Amen. I'm going to show you one more video very quickly, and we're going to get into the word, I promise. Okay, go ahead and show them that. This is the video that this will show you our home in India and our rescue ministry. Go ahead. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray and get in the word. If you have any other questions about the ministry, you can stop by the table. Either myself or Stephen will be there, and Stephen knows as much about the ministry as I do, probably. So we can answer any of your questions. You can sign up for our newsletter. If you want to sow a seed, you can do so in the offering, or if you want to use a card, you can do so at the table. We also have jewelry that's on the table that's made by our girls in our home in India. And so for anybody who does want to sow a seed in faith today, we want to give you a piece of jewelry as our thank you to you for empowering us to reach the lost, plant churches, and rescue girls from human trafficking. Because the only reason that we can do all of the things that we do is because of you. Right? We don't have big grants. We don't have big millionaire donors. Everything we do is funded. I mean, maybe some of our millionaires, I don't know, but everything we do is funded by churches and by individuals, right? Who have caught the vision and they want to sow, they want to become part of it. If you want to sign up to become a monthly partner, you can do so at the table as well. That's a tremendous blessing this year because we're going to a whole new level this year. I don't have time to tell you all of the plans, but we're hiring someone full-time, another evangelist. I mean, there's a lot of development happening this year, and the only way that's possible is that people stand with us on a continual basis. So if God puts that on your heart today, you can sign up at the table. If you want to sow, you can do that as well. And there's always, when you have dozens of churches in third world countries, there's a whole list of needs I could tell you today, right? There's the one pastor's house needs to be rebuilt. There's a road that got destroyed to one of our churches. There's a well we got to build at one of. I mean, there's a list of needs. Just ask the Lord what He would have you sow. Amen. Ask the Lord in prayer. Say, God, give me an amount if you want me to sow. Tell me how much you want me to sow, and that's a tremendous blessing to us. And then you can pick up a piece of jewelry as our thank you to you for standing with us. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the word. I want just for the next 1 to 2 minutes, just in your own words, you can pray in tongues if you pray in tongues, but just in your own words, just ask the Lord to move in this place because we need Him. We didn't come here to hear a good teaching. We came here to meet with God, right? And so just ask God to have His way in this place this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to come boldly before your throne by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the privilege to approach you today, God. We thank you for the privilege of your presence. And right now, God, I ask that you would move in this service in a powerful way. God, I ask that you would meet the people where they are, whatever they have need of, God. Father, I thank you that this morning, in the name of Jesus, bodies will be healed in this place. God, I thank you that in Jesus' name, people will be set free in this place, delivered in this place, healed, encouraged, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray even right now, you would begin to move in this room. Even right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd begin to touch people. Even right now, Lord, begin to touch people in this place. Even right now, Lord, begin to heal bodies in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for open hearts, open ears, open minds. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do because you're a good God. You're a good God. And we promise to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm going to be reading today from Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52. You can open your Bibles if you have your Bibles. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. I had planned to preach something totally different, but God woke me up this morning at 5 a.m. from a dream that I was preaching on this passage in my dream. I've never preached on this passage, but that's the dream I had, that I was preaching from this passage. So I said, okay, Lord, let's go. Right? And so I'm going to preach to you on blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him, be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him along the way. Hallelujah. I want to teach you a few things from the story of Bartimaeus. Because Bartimaeus, he got the result that he wanted, right? If you want to get the result that Bartimaeus got, what you need is to understand the things that Bartimaeus understood. Amen? Because Bartimaeus understood a few things that caused him to receive the miracle that he was seeking. Hallelujah. So I want to teach you this morning a few things that Bartimaeus understood that caused him to receive, because I realize that there are people here who need miracles. Amen. There are people here. Maybe you need a miracle in your body. Maybe you need a miracle in your mind, in your emotions, or in your finances. We serve a God of miracles. Amen. But if you want to get the results that Bartimaeus got, you got to understand the things that Bartimaeus understood. And what I want to specifically teach you on today is I want to teach you on the approach of Bartimaeus. Because listen to me, church, it's all in the way that you approach Jesus, right? And we're going to look at the way that Bartimaeus approached Jesus. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that Bartimaeus approached Jesus as the son of David. Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. Bartimaeus is crying out, Jesus, Savior, Deliverer, Healer, have mercy on me. Up until this point, if you read the book of Mark, up until this point, everybody calls Jesus teacher. Rabbi, teacher. Even in this same chapter, right before this, Jesus talks to the rich young ruler, right? I love the contrast. In the same chapter, we have a rich ruler and a blind beggar. All right? The rich ruler approaches Jesus as good teacher. He says, good teacher. Blind Bartimaeus approaches him as son of David. The rich ruler walks away sad. The blind beggar walks away healed. It's in the way you approach him. A lot of believers only ever approach Jesus as good teacher. A lot of believers live at the good teacher place for their entire lives. They say, maybe Jesus is trying to teach me something through this sickness. Maybe Jesus is trying to teach me something through this mental illness in my life. They only ever know him as good teacher. I want you to know this morning, church, that Jesus is not only a good teacher, he's a good savior, he's a good healer, he's a good deliverer. He is the son of David. He is the Messiah. He is the great physician. But you got to approach him as that. If you approach him as a good teacher, you might just get a good lesson. That's what the rich young ruler got. The rich young ruler approached him as a good teacher and got a good lesson. Bartimaeus approached him as the son of David and got miraculously healed of blindness. His eyes were opened and he became a disciple of Jesus. It said he followed them along the way. But you got to approach him as the great physician, as the healer. You got to come to him in the same faith that Bartimaeus came to him in. Hallelujah. And say, open my eyes, Lord. I remember we were at North Point. We're staying in North Point right now. I'm preaching in their chapel tomorrow. So we're staying on campus. And so we were at North Point. I'm preaching 8 times this week in 3 different states. Praise God. So we were at North Point yesterday, and I was just remembering times that we had of ministry there, times in the presence. And while I was a student at North Point, we started a prayer meeting because I was sick of not seeing any miracles. I've been a Pentecostal Bible college being trained for Pentecostal ministry, which ought to come with demonstrations of signs and wonders, and I had never seen a miracle. And I got frustrated. And so me and my friend, we started a prayer meeting. Every week we met in the prayer chapel on Wednesdays. We met for several hours with a group of students. And we met there. We said, we're going to cry out. And man, I'm telling you, I think the whole neighborhood could hear us every Wednesday. We said, we're going to cry out until we see miracles, until we see God move in miracles, signs, and wonders. And we cried out that way for about 1.5 years before we saw the first healing in that prayer meeting. We cried out for 1.5 years, and all of a sudden, everything broke open, and we started seeing healings. We saw a girl healed of Crohn's disease. We saw arches grow in people's feet. And I remember specifically one miracle. This was the most amazing miracle in those prayer meetings, and I was thinking about it yesterday. There was a young man, his name was Jordan. Do you remember Jordan, Sister Patty? I don't know his last name. Okay, yeah. Well, there was a young man named Jordan, and you'll know now, he used to walk like this. He had his foot turned in like this, and you remember him, right? So he used to walk like this. He had his foot turned in, and he'd been to the doctors his whole life. They told him, there's nothing we can do for you. That's just how you are. You just got to live with it. The one day, there was miracles happening in the prayer meeting. He came down to the front. He said, the doctors told me that this is just how I have to live, but I know that Jesus is a healer. I know that Jesus can heal me. And we began to pray over this guy, and we kept praying. And after a few minutes, his leg started to shake, and all of a sudden it popped 3 times, and his leg was completely straight. And he started running around the chapel. He'd never been able to run right? He started running around the chapel. Hallelujah. But you got to know that Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a deliverer. And we come to him in faith, not just for a good lesson. He'll give you that too. But we come to him in faith for salvation, for healing, for deliverance. Amen? So first thing you got to know how to approach as the son of David. The second thing you got to know from Bartimaeus, when you approach Jesus in faith, you're going to have to silence the doubters. Hey, I'm telling you right now, the moment you begin to operate in faith, there's going to be doubters coming out of the woodworks. Okay? The moment you begin to step out in faith, everybody's going to... The moment you accept that Jesus is not just the good teacher, but the son of David, a miracle-working God, there's going to be people that come out and put all their effort into trying to bring you back to the good teacher place. And these are followers. This is what happened to Bartimaeus. The Bible says Jesus came down and he was followed by his disciples and a great crowd. These were people who were following Jesus. The crowd that was following Jesus, Bartimaeus starts to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the followers began to say, be quiet. They rebuked him and started to silence him. You gotta have enough faith and enough grit like Bartimaeus did to cry out even louder. That when people try to silence your faith, you're gonna get louder with it because you know whom you serve. You know who you serve. We serve a miracle working, good healer, good savior, good deliverer, and good teacher. That's the God that we serve. You got to get defiant with your faith. Because the people will come, they'll tell you, no, you just calm down a little bit with that face up. You don't want to be disappointed. Don't get your hopes up. You got to get your hopes up higher. Amen. You got to get your hopes up higher because we serve a good God. A powerful God. There is power in the name of Jesus to heal everybody that's here, to set every person free, every mental illness, every addiction. There's power in the name to set you free this morning in this service. We serve the Son of David, the Messiah. Amen. But you got to get ready to silence the doubters. Listen, I want you to know this morning, our God is not bound by anything except, got a concerned look from Sister Patty, except, I love you, Sister Patty. You're amazing. Except I'm picking on you too much today. She's just minding her own business. I'm picking on her. Okay. God is not bound by anything except by his own promises. Because he cannot deny himself. Otherwise, he would not be faithful. I want you to know, church, that God has promised that if you ask in faith and do not doubt, you can speak to a mountain and that thing has to move. Jesus said, if you just had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could speak to a mountain. But you got to understand that that's pure faith. See, a lot of people, they say, no, I have faith like the grain of a mustard seed. But no, he's talking about pure faith. Faith that's free from doubt. Amen? Because what you got to understand, church, is your life is a garden. Your spirit is a garden. And there are seeds in your garden. There are seeds of faith that are planted in the garden of your life. But you got to pull out the seeds of doubt. Because Jesus says, if you have faith and do not doubt. See, I wasn't planning to go into all this, but okay. When Peter walks on water, right? This is an amazing moment of faith. Can I come down here? Is it bad for the live stream? Okay. when Peter walks on water, this is one of his highlight reel moments, right? Peter steps out of the boat. This, like, one of the only two people that I'm aware of in history that ever walked on water, Jesus and Peter, right? Peter steps out of the boat and he walks on water and he begins walking towards Jesus. But the Bible says something happens along the way. It says Peter looks and he saw the wind instead. And when he saw the wind instead, he began to sink, right? And he calls out to Jesus and Jesus pulls him up out of the water and he says something to Peter. He says, Peter, where is your faith? And then he says, why did you doubt? See, there's only two reasons Jesus ever gives why miracles don't happen. You know that? He never says it wasn't God's will this time. When the disciples couldn't cast out the demon out of the epileptic boy, he said, it's because of your little faith. He didn't say it wasn't God's will. He said it's because of your little faith. When Peter sinks, he says, where's your faith? And he says something slightly different. He says, why did you doubt? See, lack of faith and the presence of doubt are the only two reasons Jesus ever gives. They sound the same, but they're different, right? Because you can have faith, but still have doubt. And James says, anybody who doubts ought not to expect to receive anything as coming from God. He says he's a double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. In other words, you can be double-minded in a way that you have faith on one side of your mind and doubt on the other. And that's what happens to Peter. See, it's not that Peter didn't believe Jesus. He had faith in Jesus. He proved it. It's that he also believed the wind. He believed Jesus, but he also believed the circumstance. He believed Jesus, but he also, maybe today we could say, we believe Jesus, but people also believe the diagnosis. Believe Jesus, but also believe what the doctor said a little bit more. You got to throw out all of that doubt. You got to silence the doubters. Listen. I'm to the point, and you might think I'm crazy and whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Think I'm crazy. I know I'm a little more extreme than most. It's okay. I'm to the point where if I was ever struggling with a sickness, which I won't in Jesus' name, but if I was, I wouldn't even go to the doctor. I don't need a diagnosis. I need a healer. You gotta silence every voice of doubt. Listen, if you're going through something in your life, you gotta know who you should tell and who you shouldn't tell. Don't just go around telling everyone your struggle and inviting every voice to speak into your life. You gotta have friends who are filled with faith, who are gonna stand with you and believe God for a miracle. Friends who will call on the Son of David with you and not talk you out of believing for your miracle. You got to have friends like the four friends in Mark chapter 2 with the crippled guy on the mat. When they couldn't get through the crowd to Jesus with their friend, they literally crawled up on top of the building, dug a hole in the roof, and let down their friend to Jesus. You got to have friends like that. Get you four friends. Get you four friends who you can tell when you need a miracle, who you know will stand with you. Tell your pastor. Get you a couple other friends who you know are going to stand in faith and believe with you and not try and talk you out of believing that God is who he says he is. Hallelujah. You got to silence the doubters around you, and you got to silence the doubter when the devil comes and tries to sow seeds of doubt and lie to you. You got to silence the doubters and cry out even louder, Jesus, Messiah, healer, deliverer, have mercy on me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Father. You got to approach and silence the doubters. The next thing that Bartimaeus did was you got to understand about his approach. The Bible says when Jesus called to him, he cast off his cloak and sprang up and came to Jesus. When you come to Jesus for healing, for deliverance, for a miracle, you have got to cast off your cloak. See, the cloak represented the blind beggar's identity as a blind beggar. This guy was a beggar. So you can imagine a cloak was one of the few things he owned in the world. When it was a cold night, all he had was his cloak. And he cast it off. He didn't lay it down nicely. He cast it off so that the blind guy wouldn't even be able to find it again. Right? He cast it away from him and left the old identity, left the security behind, and went to the Son of David, went to the healer, the deliverer, the savior. Listen, church, you got to cast off your identity as a sick person. You got to cast off your identity as somebody who has anxiety, somebody who has depression. Cast the cloak off of you. That is not who God says that you are. You got to leave the old identity behind and come to the Savior, the healer, and the deliverer, and the one who can heal you and set you free. You got to leave it behind. I have people come to the altar all the time, and they want to tell me their whole list of all their sicknesses and all the, and you can tell this is this person's only identity. If you come to the altar, we're going to have an altar call. When you come, you could tell me what you need healing of, okay? The blind man said, I need you to heal my eyes. That's not what I'm talking about. But when people come up and they say, I have this, and you could tell, this is this person's identity. You got to cast that off. You got to cast that off. Cast off the cloak of your old life and come in faith to Jesus. We live in a society right now that glorifies mental illness. People want to be mentally ill because it makes them special in our society. Cast that off of you. Don't fall for that trap of the devil. God does not want you to have anxiety. He does not want you to have depression. He is your deliverer. He says, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He's given us peace. He says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Cast off the identity. Quit saying I have anxiety and start saying I have peace. I was trying to explain this to somebody who was kept telling me they have anxiety. I was trying to explain this to them. They said, well, I can't deny reality. Which reality? Which reality are you going to agree with? Are you going to agree with the world's reality, the devil's reality? Are you going to agree with God's reality that said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You gotta stop agreeing with that stuff and cast the cloak off. Agree with the truth. Jesus, I've prayed, I've given thanks, now peace is mine. In Jesus' name, agree with God's reality. Amen. You guys with me this morning? You got to cast off the cloak. I saw a young lady yesterday. A student at North Point. When I first met her, I was preaching the North Point experience a couple years ago. And she was there visiting, checking out the school. She wasn't a student yet. She came to the altar call for healing. I gave a healing altar call. She came to the altar call. She said, I have rheumatoid arthritis, but I think it's just my thorn in my flesh that I'm supposed to have to keep me humble. You gotta cast off the cloak. I told her, I said, listen, your daddy doesn't want you sick. I have 3 kids. I don't want any of them to have rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm really not as good as Jesus, I promise you. I said, your daddy doesn't want you sick. I said that to her like 3 or 4 times. Your daddy doesn't want you sick. I said, do you believe that? She said, yes, I do. I said, then what do you want God to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? She said, I want to be healed of rheumatoid arthritis. And so I prayed over her. I rebuked the arthritis. This was the young lady, Bianca, we were talking to yesterday. I prayed over her. I rebuked the rheumatoid arthritis, and she fell down stiff as a board and screamed three times and was delivered from a spirit of infirmity. You got to cast off the cloak. You got to cast off the cloak. Hallelujah. The last thing I want you to know, and then we're going to go into a time of prayer. The last thing that I want you to know about the approach, you have got to approach in faith. You have got to approach in faith. This was the key to Bartimaeus receiving the miracle, is that he came to Jesus in faith with no doubting. You have got to come in faith, church. I told you already that the Bible promises if you will ask in faith with no doubting, you're going to receive. If you speak to a mountain in faith with no doubting, the thing has to move, right? You got to come in faith. I love the question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus. I ask this question at altar calls all the time. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Obviously, if you're talking to a blind man, you know what the best thing to do would be. Okay? What's Jesus doing? He's seeing, where's your faith? What are you believing me for? I ask all the time, what do you want? What do you want God to do for you today? And just a few weeks ago, we were talking about the post I made a few weeks back. I was preaching in Maryland. And there was a young man who came forward for healing, and it was obvious, you looked at this guy, you knew he was dying of cancer, right? He was on death's doorstep with cancer, right? Like, he was at the end. And he came forward, he had a mask on his face because he was being careful in that place he was in life. He came forward, he had a mask on his face, and I thought that I was praying for a 65-year-old man. He was 20. He was in his early 20s. And I asked him the question, I said, what do you want God to do for you today? And I was seeing, what are you believing for? Because some people, well, I want to understand why I'm going through this. Okay, then you're coming in faith for the good teacher. I said, what do you want God to do for you? He said, I want to be healed of cancer. I found out later that his doctors had just told him the week before. He was on number 5 of his 12 chemo treatments, and the doctors had just told him the week before, your body's too weak. If we give you another treatment, you'll die. We have to cancel your treatments. We have to regroup and see where we're going to go from here, right? This guy has no other option but for Jesus to heal him. And so he comes forward to the altar call, and this kid came in faith, man. He said, I want to be healed of cancer. And so I laid hands on him and I began to rebuke the cancer out of his body, and the power of God smacked him, right? Like, you see some people get slain in the spirit, it's a nice gentle. Yeah, no, he got smacked, like he crumbled, right? And when he got up a few minutes later, he said, I'm healed. And he began telling everyone, I'm healed, I'm healed. From that time forward, he kept confessing, I'm healed. That Wednesday, he went back to his doctor. They did a PET scan, and there was not a cancer cell in his entire body. You can go on my Facebook and see the before and after. If you look in the comments, there's an after picture of just 2 weeks later. The difference. Go look after this. Go look on my Facebook. See when I prayed for him, what he looked like is a picture of him ringing the bell that the cancer was gone. Look through the comments. 2 weeks later, it's a kid that he looked like death when I met him. 2 weeks later, he looks like a kid who's going to thrive. He's alive. He's got color in his face. Like, he is complete. His hair is all growing back. He is completely, he looks like a different person. You got to come. What do you want God to do for you? Do you want a good teacher, or do you want the Son of David? Church, when I give the altar call in just a few moments, let the band come, and or someone come. Anyone, just come play something. Yeah. Okay. Pastor or your grandson, someone play some nice music in the background. We're going to go into a time of prayer in just a moment. But listen, when I give the altar call for you to come forward, if you need a miracle, if you need to be set free, whether it's in your mind and emotions or whether it's in your body, I want you to come in faith. I want you to cast off your cloak. I want you to spring up, and I want you to come in faith that you're coming not for a good lesson, but you're coming forward to be touched by the good healer. You're coming forward to the good savior, the good deliverer who can set you free and completely change your entire situation this morning. Hallelujah. Before we do that, I want to give an opportunity for anyone here. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the most important thing. Everything else is just the benefits. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who satisfies my life with good." These are all just the benefits. If you work in a corporate job, you understand you have a main salary and you have benefits, right? The main salary is the salvation of your souls. That's what Jesus paid for on the cross. 2,000 years ago, when he took your place, died for your sins, and rose again on the third day, he paid for the salvation of your souls so that you could spend eternity in paradise with him. Amen? So that you can know that when either you die or when he comes back, that you're going to be ready and know where you're going and where you're going to spend your eternity. That's the main salary, is the salvation of your souls. Now, it would be pretty dumb not to also take advantage of the benefits. You can also take advantage of the health insurance. Amen. But the main salary is the salvation of your souls. Bartimaeus, he cries out, he says, "Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me." Maybe you're here today and you need to call out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me." The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe there's someone who needs to make that step today. You know, as I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about, you know, most of the miracles in the New Testament, they don't tell you the person's name. It's always just the man with the withered hand, the woman with the issue of blood, right? Who came and she touched Jesus in faith, right? And that's why she was healed. He says the same thing to her daughter, "Your faith has healed you." Your faith, that's what he tells Bartimaeus. Your faith has healed you, right? But it's always just the description, right? The crippled person at the pool. But here it's the name. It's not only does it name Bartimaeus, but it names his father. And the reason I realize is because of what it says at the end of this passage, that he continued on and followed them. Jesus doesn't just want to heal you and deliver you so you can go back to the same life you've always lived. He wants to heal you and deliver you so you can cast off your old life, leave it behind, and follow him and have a relationship with him where he knows your name, where he speaks to you, where he knows your dad's name, he knows your dog's name, he knows your auntie's name, he knows that, and he cares about every aspect of your life. He wants a relationship with you. That's what Bartimaeus did. He cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And then when God had mercy on him, he left everything and followed him. Stand to your feet with me. We're going to pray. I want to give you that opportunity today to do what Bartimaeus did. To do what I did 15 years ago in a prison chapel. And to say, I'm ready to leave everything behind. Have mercy on me, God. I'm going to follow you. Maybe it's your first time hearing this message. Maybe you've heard this message 100 times, but you've never left your past behind, repented of your sins, and followed Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I believe Jesus is always asking that same question that he asked me. Are you ready? Are you ready? And if you're here today and you say, man, I'm ready. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the evil in my life. I'm tired of living my own way. I'm ready to call on the Savior to be saved and to follow him. If that's you this morning, would you just lift up your hand so I can pray with you? Thank you. I see you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. I see you guys in the back. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? You say, today's, I see you. Anyone else? You say, today's the day. I want to leave everything behind and follow him. Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. This is going to be the same, a similar prayer to what Bartimaeus did. Lord, have mercy on me. I realize who you are. I need your mercy, and I'm going to follow you. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on a cross, and that you rose on the third day. I know that I've made mistakes. And I need your mercy. And I ask you to forgive me today. I give you my life. You are my Lord. And from this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask, because if this is you, I have a present for you. If that was either your first time or like you've been away from God for a long time and you're coming home, right? If you're one of those two categories, can you raise your hand so I can give you a book? Go ahead, give him a book. This is going to help you on your journey right in the back. Go give him a book. Is there anyone else that was right here? Give her a book. That it was your first time or you're coming back after a long time away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that when one sinner repents, there's more joy in heaven than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to. So there's a big party in heaven today. Amen. I want you guys to know God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And if you'll surrender your life to him and truly make him the Lord, wait for 15 years and see where you are. See where you are in 1 year. Hallelujah. We're going to close with a worship. Can you lead us in a song, Pastor? We're going to.
What song?
Any song you want. You okay. Choose. Right. Singer's choice. I'll pick something you never heard of if you give me the idea. Okay. We're going to close with a song of worship. And during this song, if you're here today and you need a miraculous touch from God, I want you to come down to the front. I want you to leave behind the cloak. I want you to spring up. And I want you to come in faith. Not that you're going to encounter just a good teacher, but that you're going to encounter a good healer and a good deliverer. If you need healing or deliverance in your life, I want you to begin coming to the front quickly. Come quickly. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God for mighty miracles in this place today. Hallelujah. And if you're not coming down, just worship him as we close this service with a song. Hallelujah.
Open the eyes of my heart. Stop coming after me. Coming after me.
Hallelujah, God. I just thank you for every single person who is here today, God. I pray that as they would go in faith, they would go encouraged, and that they would follow you just like blind Bartimaeus, just like no longer blind Bartimaeus, God, that they would go healed, they would go delivered, they would go in faith, and they would begin to follow you like never before, God. Bless every single person here as they go today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to keep praying. If you need to leave, you can, but we're going to continue until everybody's been prayed for. Amen. Amen. Amen.